Welcome to episode 304 of the 10 10 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 10 10 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10 10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Entering a new year is like turning the page of a book, where new characters, novel ideas, and unexpected twists await. While little might actually change for us on January 1st, besides tax rates and frequent flyer status, many of us crave the opportunity to reset, to try again, to start over. And so we look forward to the closing of one year and the opening of another. We welcome the new year with celebrations, and we signal our desire for change by making promises, sometimes to none other than ourselves. The transition from December 31st to January 1st is marked by lots of long-standing traditions. New Year's superstition and folklore come from around the world and span decades and even centuries. From the kiss at midnight, to filling up on collard greens and black-eyed peas, to blowing noisemakers and setting off fireworks. These traditions began as efforts by some to generate good favor, to secure blessings, to usher in good luck. If you are looking for ways to live, commitments to make, inspiration for the future, or just for a pathway to blessing, look no further than God's word. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so here are 10 passages from scripture that we hope will inspire the way you want to live your life this coming year. Number one, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 to 18. Our temporary minor problems are producing an eternal stockpile of glory for us that is beyond all comparison. We don't focus on the things that can be seen, but on the things that can't be seen. The things that can be seen don't last, but the things that can't be seen are eternal. Do you see your problems as minor, as temporary? Other versions use terms like light affliction, or light distress, or momentary troubles. And consider the one who writes this. This was the Apostle Paul. According to one commentator, Paul didn't write as a kindergartner in the school of suffering. He had an advanced graduate degree. If the man who was shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, stoned, robbed, deprived of food and water, and challenged in so many other ways could characterize his affliction as light, what of ours? But the key here is not grading the severity of our suffering. This is the important takeaway. Our affliction is light because of what God accomplishes in us through that affliction. A stockpile of glory for us, or as the King James Version puts it, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory is tied to suffering, and God will accomplish in us a glory far heavier than any affliction we have suffered here. The things that are visible to humans in this life are here for just a moment and then gone. Paul describes them as transient. The invisible God, though, is eternal, meaning outside of time. Whatever exists with him in the spiritual world will never end. Paul is able to keep his focus on the glories of eternity by keeping his inner focus on what is eternal. This allows him to endure suffering in this life that is light and short in comparison to the glories and pleasures of eternity to come. And he calls us to do the same. Number two, 1 Peter 1 verse 3. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again to a living hope because we have eternal life in a Savior who conquered death himself. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "It is called a living hope because it is imperishable. Other hopes fade like withering flowers. The hopes of the rich, the boasts of the proud, all these will die out as a candle when it flickers in the socket." Verse 4 tells us that when we are in Christ, we are born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. No earthly inheritance can match that. Number three, Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness. Your paths overflow with rich food. God will crown our year, the year 2022, with goodness. We will not go without. He will provide for us. Number four, Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23. Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies, his compassions, his grace toward us will continue in 2022. And if we go to bed discouraged, wake up with a smile and with a sense of both hope and purpose, because the faithful God whom we serve will renew those mercies each day. Number five, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. But the Lord is the one who is marching before you. He is the one who will be with you. He won't let you down. He won't abandon you. So don't be afraid or scared. The one marching before us, the one standing beside us, the one holding us in moments of trial and tribulation is God himself. Whatever the circumstances, he won't leave us. Whatever the problem, it is not too great for him. Know that he's got this, so we can just relax. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. If you're searching for hope in 2022, God wants to fill this year for you with hope. Number seven, Job 8, verse 7. Although your former state was ordinary, your future will be extraordinary. Other versions amplify this point. Even if your beginnings were modest, your final days will be full of prosperity. Though you started with little, you will end with much. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. For Job, this was true in a material sense. That may not be our situation this year, but we can live more spiritually abundant, even if not physically so. This year, when you trust God, when you listen to his word, you will thrive. Number eight, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. This year, in this world, you will face trouble, but the one who has overcome the world will give you the strength, the courage, the confidence to endure. Number nine, Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Pray more this year. Don't hold anything back from him. And don't forget to give thanks. Number 10, Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Make this your theme for 2022. Hope in the Lord. There we have it. 10 passages of scripture for the new year. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Use words in these passages or whole passages in your email signature, as a wallpaper for your phone or computer, as posters that you hang on the walls. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. May it fill our hearts today and transform us so that we'll be obedient to your will, especially in this new year. Help us to read more, to grow more, and to encourage others based on that which we learn. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.